What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this coop. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
With Rod Babers and Patrick Davis.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
Is there a problem back there?
HornFM.com and on the Horn app, The Horn, where Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. We like to call it a hump day edition of the Rodcast. Got a great show planned for you. We'll get into some Texas football discussion. Arch Manning is finally in the game. We'll discuss that. We'll also get into a discussion about media days. This time, Big 12 media days. We were talking about Mike Gundy yesterday and talking about Mike Gundy having a mouthpiece, a very polarizing mouthpiece that's been in trouble sometimes, often makes headlines. He did it again. It was pretty predictable. He did it again, so we'll get into that. We'll also dive into some NFL news notes and nuggets. Dak Prescott spoke to the media about his contract negotiation with the Cowboys. We'll hear from Dak Prescott coming up next hour. We'll also dive into the clutch gene, examining NFL quarterbacks in the clutch gene. We'll discuss that too. Also, we'll talk about the growing trend in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball, going to more and more sub packages, more and more speed on the field. We'll examine that trend, talk about the Cowboys and the Texans also and where they stand in that trend. Also, we'll get into some of the other usual favorites on the show. Of course, we'll go behind the burnt orange curtain. I've been examining the SEC as an entity, as an ecosystem, and all of the different patterns and trends and all these conceptual signatures from the SEC. I've identified a few, and we'll talk about Texas and Texas transitioning to the SEC and how they may be ahead of some of these trends. They may be behind some of them. Hell, they may set some of these trends when they get to the SEC. We'll talk about that when we go behind the burnt orange curtain and talk some Texas football. We'll also have all your usual favorites. We got the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the day, what the facts, what the stats. We got also Off the Record. We'll also get into Who Said That. We got tons to do on the show. Before we do, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He's one of the hardest working members of the ARN family. Got a hustler spirit, period. Not sure what he's paid, but I'm pretty damn sure the man is underpaid. Ain't no 401k for this hustler, and he's a hustle man of many talents. It's our friend, co-host, and neighbor. It's Patrick Davis, y'all. What's going on, Patrick? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good on a Wednesday morning. Got to watch some summer league yesterday. It was good to see the Spurs look a little bit better in their game yesterday than they had. Getting ready for some Team USA basketball tonight. I saw that Durant is not going to be playing tonight, though. He's already been listed as out. But it'll be a fun game tonight for some for some USA basketball. Then we'll get into some more summer league. I tried to do some soccer over the break.
Good for you.
I had some friends that were watching it, and it's Copa America, but then USA got knocked out super early.
Good for you.
So he couldn't watch that, and then it's the Euros. Everyone's like, it's great, but it's still soccer. And like the first game I watched, it was a 1-1 tie, and they just hit. I was like, this is not how you sell me on these things.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's thrilling. That's a thrilling match.
It's not. Right there, it's man. Not. It's not thrilling. Thrilling is not the word I would use.
That's considered thrilling. I know. I've tried my best too, and I know I need to do better, and I'm trying to get into it because of Austin FC alone. But I'm with you. It can be tough at times. It can. I'm with you. But at least I will say it's quick. You know, it's. I will say soccer goes by pretty fast. So it's not you don't spend a lot of time. You know what I mean? If you are bored, it's not a lot of time.
Yeah, no.
Get it out.
But it's one of those. It's a game that is frustrating because you'll watch it for 25 minutes, like face to the TV, and you'll be like, nothing is happening. They're just like, they're not even really getting any shots off, and it's and then you'll turn around to do something else, and then you'll hear the announcer yell, and you'll be like, what just happened? And then barely show replay. You're like, I don't know. It's not.
It's very subtle, and you know what I mean.
Yes.
Some of the analysis of it, no one breakdown of it. Trust me, my wife, she's a huge. She plays soccer and she's big into it. She's been trying to educate me.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Always is like, did you play this game enough that you have like the inside knowledge, and you go, okay, I can watch what this guy's doing, and I appreciated the Austin FC game. I've been to one, and I was up high enough that I could watch everything at once, and you kind of see a little bit more of. The strategy of it,
then
when I'm watching it on TV. Yeah, when
yeah,
he was
I'm
watching on TV, I don't see the strategy as much because I can't look at it in that way. You just kind of see what guys are – you see where the ball is, and so you're not watching where other guys are trying to position themselves in passing lanes and all of that.
Yep.
So
football's like that too. If you get a good view of it, you'll be like, oh, yeah. Damn, look at that play. Look how – oh, that's what they were doing. Yeah, you can really – it'll really all come together for you.
I've been trying, and I'm ready for Summer League. I'm ready for more for Vegas Summer League.
The Olympics should be fun. The Olympics, basically, a lot of this stuff we're talking about with soccer, you get to that the Olympics, but you're motivated and incentivized by your patriotism,
well,
so you get into
yes,
it, and it's you know what
but
I mean.
That's
so
like,
the Olympics is kind of like that too. These are not sports that we normally would track and field. I mean, nobody's watching track and field.
But
in the Olympics, it's thrilling.
But track and field is. Here's it starts, and it's over. And
you understand? It's very simple. There's no doubt about that.
You don't have to take the long pause of like.
No, that's not our strategy in it. Usually, it's like they're faster. There you go, they won.
Yes, that guy seems fast.
Okay, no, I'm with you on that. That's true, but for some of the other stuff, it is fascinating. So with you got the Olympics. My point is your dead zone of sports. It's not so dead.
No, it's not. Well, once the Olympics start, we get the Olympics, end of July. So once we get to that, then it'll be a little bit easier because it'll at least be something to watch. I do appreciate when it's not in the correct time zone. This will be a little bit different because I feel like it'll be right in that time zone where everything is going to be where we have to like try and get a little bit of sleep. We can't stay up late to watch the Olympics as much.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work out for us. Yeah, I haven't done the math on the times and, the time change. I will say that, I'll just DVR stuff that I want to watch. It gets spoiled for me on social media, but I don't care. I'll DVR. If I want to watch track field, I want to watch the basketball game. If it is at some weird time, I'll just DVR it, go back and watch it. But I know that spoils it a little bit, especially the Olympics, because you're going to keep it up with it live, real time.
And,
but that'll be fun, though. I can't wait for the Olympics.
Yeah, and then we just keep our medal count. That's the whole just watch the medal count thing and then get upset when USA is not in the lead and then –
Yeah, all so simple. And it's like, hold up, they got more medals than us? What the hell, man?
What the hell?
You don't even really know why or how many events are left. Like, no, I just need to know that your Team USA is always in the lead for the medal count.
That's
simple.
What we need. Let me introduce my co-host. He's a proud alumni of DBU. He's got more papers than Dunder Mifflin and watches more film than Siskel and Ebert. He is the new Rod Father of Austin Sports Radio, Mr. Rod Babers.
I appreciate the intro, as always, brother. All right, so we'll get into a couple of topics here. Arch Manning is in the EA Sports college football video game. We have the commercial endorsement from he and Eli. So you got the family in on this thing, and we'll talk about that. We'll also get into Mike Gundy's RDO because I knew Mike Gundy's going to say something controversial. We literally brought this up yesterday. I said, listen, Mike Gundy, and I love your idea, And I don't know why they haven't tried to, you know, start a kind of makeshift rivalry between Mike Gundy and Deion Sanders. I mean, just get them in the same room together. They're going to say something to each other.
I mean,
or just ask one about the other. And then they'll say something.
Yeah, and they know this because they did schedule Colorado and Oklahoma State as the last game of the season.
See, so they know it. Yeah, exactly. This is election season, too. Come on. You cannot beat a Deion Sanders versus Mike. Come on. Late in the season? What? So last game of the season? Man. Tension's going to be high around that time.
Yes. And if either one of those teams is good, it'll add to the whole.
I mean, yeah, that could get – both of those teams are really good. And I do think Oklahoma State's going to contend to win the Big 12. They're one of my two picks, them in Utah. I love me some Mike Gundy. I know people – I don't necessarily want to like Mike Gundy, but I like Mike Gundy. I love me some Mike Gundy. He's always willing to tell his truth. Exactly. Like I said, I didn't say the truth. I said he's always going to tell his truth. He's going to tell you his truth, and he's going to give it to you straight, and it's unfiltered. You don't get a lot of that. That's just off the field. But on the field, guys, he's a hell of a coach. He's one of the best coaches in college football. He really is. He does more with less on a consistent basis, probably more so than any coach in the country. And he's now anti-transfer portal and he's anti-NIL pretty much, and still, hell, last year he was in the Big 12 title game. And I guarantee you there's a good chance he'll be in it again this year because they do return a lot. And their offensive line is pretty good. And they got the best running back in college football, and that's what this story is about, because Ollie Gordon got arrested for a DWI, that was like a week ago, and Gundy was asked about the punishment.
Yes.
What are you going to do about Ollie Gordon? What's going to be the punishment? And then, like I said, only Mike Gundy telling his truth, giving it to you straight. That's what I do appreciate about Mike Gundy. Obviously, I don't want to get into politics here, but Trump does some of the same stuff where there's a feeling that he's the same on camera as he is off camera.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, that's pretty much, that's him. All right, that's him, and what you see is what you get. That is not always the case with coaches. We talk about coach speak. That obviously not the case with politicians, but with Gundy, like I said, kind of like with Trump, there is that, and for a lot of folks, that's refreshing. Is that hey, what you see is what you get. I ain't got nobody trying to pull one over on me. Gundy, he gonna tell you what he really thinks about that topic and that subject. And like I said it yesterday. I said he gonna say something, and he didn't waste any time. He gave us a nice headline to work with today. And it's a good conversation to have, too, about Ollie Gordon. So we'll hear from Mike Gundy. And we'll also go behind the burnt orange curtain next segment. I don't know if we'll get all of it in, but I've been looking at a lot of SEC trends. And you guys know I got papers every day, and we're about the trends with Texas and different conceptual signatures. So I got conference signatures, just things that make the SEC stand out schematically, philosophically, and really now, kind of cross-referencing that with some of my information about Texas and Texas's identity offensively and some of the things they do very well. So some of those trends, they're going to be ahead of the game. Some, they might be a little bit behind. So we'll talk some Texas football. I've been doing a lot of research on SEC. I mean, I got all my notes, guys, on the ball for years. I can't even – they're done. I'm not even doing research on the Big 12 and all these teams for the last 15 years. Now I got to start researching – yeah. You know, the identity of the SEC teams and their recent history and what's led them to this different philosophy and that scheme. And I knew all that about all the teams in the Big 12. Guys, this is the same thing that happened to PK when PK got here. When Gary Patterson came on the staff, that knowledge that he brought was invaluable. Essentially, he gave PK, who's a newcomer to the Big 12, who didn't really know the landscape and the ecosystem, he didn't know the terrain, he gave him the cliff notes. He gave him the cliff notes on Matt Campbell. Let me give you the cliff notes on Gundy. And how the way Gundy operates. Let me give you the cliff notes on all these different guys, right, in the Big 12 who've been around a little while, who know the conference really well. Let me give you the cliff notes on Texas Tech as a culture. Texas Tech pretty much tried to be the same damn program since Mike Leach was there. They just kind of replicate kind of different forms of it in some way, form, or fashion. And like offensively, right, they haven't ventured away from the air raid. What does Oklahoma do? Oklahoma has tried to stay in the Stoops. Bob Stoops, and tried to stay in that coaching tree, pretty much, right? So I had Venables in the Lincoln Riley before that. Like, that is valuable knowledge about how a team is going to form their identity and how they're going to construct their roster. And you don't have those files if you're new to the conference and you don't have that knowledge, right? So, but Gary Patterson comes in, it's no coincidence that PK's defense is able to have a drastic turnaround that year. And not that PK wouldn't have figured it out, but it would have took him another season.
At least, yeah.
And ain't no telling where he would have been that after, right? It took another season and it lost a couple of more games trying to figure it out. And then we don't know telling where Texas would be right now. But he came in, gave him the cliff notes, said, hey, man, this is the way these teams operate. Initially, PK thought, the Big 12 was a passing league. They spent throwing it all over the place. No, the Big 12 was a passing league. And then it transformed, and it has now changed into a hybrid spread league where it's a running league cross-dressing as a passing league. That's what the Big 12 is now. Gary Patterson had to come in and tell him that, and then from then on, they took a lot of Gary Patterson's concepts, and Texas defense has been much better. So I'm doing the same thing now. Texas is doing the same thing too. They got all their notes on Big 12 opponents that they had. That's all out the window. They got to now start a whole new database on every team in the SEC. That's also a little bit different. You keep that when you play a coach year after year, man. You keep all that stuff. You don't throw that stuff away and start all over again. Oh, you got a thick file on coaches you got to play year after year. By now, Sark, after the Big 12, after his third year in the Big 12, he had thick files on everybody. Like the FBI style, files on all the coaches, on the roster construction, on their personnel, on the coaching staff. And now, unless the Oklahoma one you keep, but other than that, got to throw all this stuff out, start all over again.
Yeah.
Figure it out. It's little stuff like that, it matters. Hell, I'm doing it too, trying to figure out, all right, now getting to know Texas' next opponent. So, obviously, you will get all the information I get, is my point. All right, let's get educated, updated, and informed on all the top stories of the day with my man Patrick Davis and the Horn Headlines.
All right, your Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. In the MLB, the Astros got a 4-3 win over the Marlins yesterday with Ronyel Blanco getting his ninth win of the season, pitching seven innings, only allowing two runs and seven strikeouts. Alex Bregman hit a two-run homer in the seventh to take the lead, and the Astros pick up the victory, keeping them in the hunt for the AL West division race. Houston will send Framber Valdez to the mound tonight, looking to keep their seven-game home streak win streak alive against Brian Hoeing in what will be a bullpen game for the Marlins. And the Rangers won their fifth straight game following an eighth-inning homer from Adolis Garcia to put the Rangers up 5-4. Max Scherzer pitched 6 2/3 innings, only allowing 3 earned runs, but didn't pick up the win as he could not get out of the 7th inning. Josh Smith picked up 3 hits in the game, knocking in 2 RBIs. He remains the Rangers' leader in batting average this season, hitting .296. Michael Lorenzen will get the start for the Rangers tonight, building on a 5-inning performance in his last outing, only allowing 1 hit, and that is your Horn Headlines.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn Headlines. All right, let's start with the Gundy. Let's start with the Gundy sound and audio. Got 2 pieces of audio here. The first one we'll get into is Gundy being asked about the punishment for Ollie Gordon. And they're both along the same lines. One, he's on the podium telling the story. That's the one we'll get to later. Telling the story about him doing research on DWIs, basically, and kind of the legality of it. And then he has a story connecting to himself. But the first one, the piece of audio, is when he's asked about Ollie Gordon's DWI and the punishment for Ollie Gordon. Here is Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy.
We're in a time where you guys are essentially employees. You guys make lots of money to play this game. It's different than it was 5 years ago. And your punishment's going to be facing the facts. That's why we brought him here today. I said, you're not going into hiding. You're going to face the music. You're going to have to stand up and talk to people and answer questions. And hopefully, more than football, you can learn from the situation you've been in. Because if not, then we have a real issue. He's going to play. And I'm going to do what we think is best for Oklahoma State football. And I think it's best for Ollie to play. If there's any punishment, it's make him carry the ball 50 times in the first game.
See, that's why I like Gundy. I mean, obviously he's joking about the 50 times in the game, but I love what he said though, man. I want you to come in and face the music. Not gonna hide you. You know, this is life, and now you are more like a professional. At least we should treat you like more of a professional than ever before, because you are being paid a certain amount through NIL dollars, and there's more player empowerment than ever before. But with great power comes great responsibility as a player. So I like that part of it for Gundy. I mean, saying, hey, and some people didn't like the joke because it's a very sensitive topic, very delicate topic. So I'm not making light of driving while drunk, driving while intoxicated. That is a serious thing. But Gundy is Gundy. It's kind of like, it's why I like him. I think he's the same guy off camera that he is on camera. The second piece of audio here before we dive into it is Mike Gundy telling a story, really a personal story, about him doing some research after finding this out about Ollie Gordon, and really kind of putting himself in Ollie Gordon's shoes. Here is Coach Gundy.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08 and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light, because you make a lot of money to play football.
There you go. And so actually, and this is, I think, really the true opportunity to have a discussion about it. And because he was being honest. He was being honest about it. And I think everybody can relate to that irresponsible decision. And he talked about, hey, you know, I've been there before, and he's made that decision and been lucky. Because it's the outcome, the potential devastating and tragic outcome of making a irresponsible decision like that, to me, kind of far outweigh any inconvenience you may have. And any type of situation that you've been in, and we've all been in that situation before, where you have a few drinks and you decide, you know what, I'm okay to drive. And that's what he's talking about. And I think everybody can relate to that bad decision. And was it worth it? No, it's never worth it. I don't know if he was, and I think that's kind of what he was getting to. He wasn't trying to justify what Ollie Gordon did. He was just trying to say, hey, Ollie Gordon's not a bad person, because we've all been there and made that terrible decision. And he's right. And in the new world that we live in, all the technological advances with ride sharing and, you know, the chance to avoid such bad decisions, I think the stat I saw was, just kind of bring it close to home, is a person dies every 39 minutes as a result of drunk driving in this country. Yeah. I mean, it's a discussion we probably should have more, and we should be more open and honest about it. And, yeah, I'm glad that Coach Gundy was willing to admit, hey, man, I've done that as a head coach, and say, I've done that. I've made that bad decision. And I think the rest of us should learn the lesson from Ollie Gordon and from Coach Gundy being honest there that, yeah, man, that's something we got to talk more about. It's a casual thing. He's talking about how casual it is.
It is.
That you just have three or four beers, or have a couple of a marg or a couple of cocktails, and just, you know what, I'm good. I know I'm good. And you jump in the car, and we don't think, as you know, people don't think a big deal out of it. And he's right. I mean, he's right. I think we all should look in the mirror and have that man in the mirror moment and think to yourself, how many times have I done it? How many times have I done it? And is it worth it? Was it worth it? Instead of just saying, either, I'll have a drink when I get home, or, you know, instead of three or four, I'll just have one and I'll be done. Or I will just take a ride share. I'll prepare for, you know, to have a good time, whatever it is. So I applaud Coach Gundy and his honesty. This, like I said, he's telling his version of the truth. Some people don't like it. Some people thought he was being very cavalier about a very delicate topic. And it is a delicate topic, because people have lost loved ones over that. People have been in serious. I know people have had, obviously, accidents as a result of being on the other end of a DWI. I know people who have been arrested as a result of having DWIs. And, yeah, I mean, it's something that we don't talk enough about, how casually we make that decision at times and how reckless that careless decision is.
No, and look,
good for him.
I do, but I'm not going to say good for him because there's 20 pieces of BS that he said in this too. So
yeah, it
all,
is. But
first of all, the reason Ollie Gordon is playing is because Ollie Gordon's the best player on that team. Hands down, end of story. So come out and say, Ollie Gordon's the best player. We're paying him the most money. He's going to play for me. I don't care. He could have run over 10 kids when he came home. I don't care. He's playing. Say that. And then don't say he maybe two or three beers. He didn't have two beers. We know that Ollie Gordon, who is a prime athlete, didn't have two beers and blew up .1.
I don't know. He said it was .08. I have no idea.
He said he blew .1. He said he blew .1, and you did not blow .1 after two beers. Unless you literally chug two beers as the cop's pulling and doing that, you don't. Believe me,
I think he was talking about himself and the beers.
I get that. But he's again. This is all like it's all that stuff to marginalize the reality of it, which is my best player got popped for something. I'm not going to punish him because it's going to punish me and it's going to punish our team to do it. Which fine. I'm not super mad at you for not giving him a huge punishment. I think you should have done something more than let he still gets to do everything he was going to do anyway, and we're not going to punish him whatsoever. I think that's a little light. I think you should probably do something for it, and maybe he will.
As I said, I think they said he's going to do it in-house, whatever it is.
Yeah, but they're
not going to miss a game.
I don't think he's going to do much.
He's not going to miss a game. Yeah.
And so I agree that it's not the worst penalty in the world, and I think it is a mistake. A lot of people, I've had friends who have made it, and they've been better about it ever since, you know. Yeah. And I think that there's pieces of it, but it's that thing of where you can say something that sounds like it's close enough to the truth, and everybody goes, "Wow, you know, that's close enough." So we'll go ahead and give you a pass. But just no, but that's not the real reason. The real reason that he is playing is because he's your best player. So that's the truth. Say that.
I disagree with that. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with any of that. You're right. And I'm not even getting into the punishment aspect of it. I was just giving Gundy some props because at least he was being honest, putting himself in that situation and saying, hey, I've made that reckless decision before. That's all. And I think, like I said, it's a conversation worth having. But you're right. I don't know what he's going to do. He said he would do – that's going to be some in-house – they're going to keep it inside the family punishment for Ollie Gordon. I have no idea what that's going to be.
But see, and so, we don't know what he did. But if Ollie Gordon came back and said, man, I can't believe I only blew .1. I had, I drank a case of beer and did five shots and then I waited 3 hours and drank some water and I blew a .1. So luckily it's only a .1. Coach Gundy comes back and goes, well, we've all had two or three. We've all had two or three. And you go, I get it, but .1, it's usually not... it's not a ton of drinks. I don't think that .1's a ton of drinks. I don't think you did drink a case of beer, but I think it's more than two. And to put the number two out there is clear.
He did go up to four.
Yeah, I know. Two or three.
He
four,
did start at two,
five,
and
six,
then he went up to
seven.
Four. So it's kind of like LeBron James in the championship thing. He went two to four.
It's one of those things where like, I see what you're doing, and you're trying to make this seem like this guy literally went out. And he got secondhand drunk. Someone next to him was drinking. And Ollie Gordon's a good kid. But he should pay him more, is what I think. I mean, I told him, this privilege of coming to the media days to get your name out there more and try and build yourself. I told him, you've got to do that. I'm not going to let you get away with not doing the thing that you wanted to do anyway.
Well, that is, you do got to face the media. The media's going to ask you about it. That is part of it. Yeah. I think you're going to be a face of the team. You need to go out there and face the media, face the music, as they always say, be responsible for your actions. And somebody should ask them, hey, what's the punishment? Is there going to be any punishment at all? I'm sure they'll ask him that. And then if he's lying about it, they'll catch him in the lie. If he says, oh, no, they haven't punished me yet, and they won't punish him. I actually agree with the fact that they're going to let him face the media. There are a lot of people that thought he wouldn't even be there. And that would have been part of the punishment, too. Like, no, you don't get to represent the team at all. And that could have been a proper punishment in addition to, like you said, taking him away from some game time. I do think I don't know what the kind of standard is across the country. I got to do some research to find out when guys get popped for DWIs, how many games they're suspended. Game, is it two games?
And two, that we're going to suspend you for a half in a non-conference game against a D3 opponent. That's always one of those things. I get it. That also doesn't mean a ton to me that if you do that. So I'm not saying –
What would be a meaningful
– I'm not saying a suspension. I'm not saying you even have to suspend him. I'm saying it's more this this entire thing of, look, guys, I get it, but we're gonna get him. Guys, don't worry, he knows what's wrong. You're like, but that's not how you lead young men into all this, everything that Gundy has always gone after and trying to be. I'm a man and I'll do this. And then you come out and you're just like, no, but he's our best player. Just say he's your best player. Just say that.
I know, but I will say we, okay, so basically my thing was I'm giving him props for the vulnerability, right? To just admit, no, I've made that mistake. That's something I've done, and it's a mistake. It's exactly what it is, and you got to learn from it. I applaud Sark when we talk about the culture of vulnerability and him being very vulnerable with the players and opening up about mistakes so you can learn from those mistakes.
Yeah.
And we are closer because I am also imperfect and I have made mistakes and been where you are. And now we will grow together. I can't do that with Sark and then not give the man some credit for also being vulnerable. It's just that you don't like his way of being vulnerable because people don't like Mike Gundy. Like I said, and I don't want to like Mike Gundy, but I do like Mike Gundy because I do think what you see is what you get.
But that's my problem
And if I want to applaud Sark for being authentic, which we always do because he's genuine, I got to also applaud him for being the same way. It's just that he does it in a way that some people are, you know, they take offense to.
No, but that's the thing is it's because it's disingenuous genuine in this. That's the problem.
You think it's disingenuously
saying
genuine?
Two beers, saying I've sometimes had 2 to 3 beers driven, and I've done that. So, no, you also had 10, Gundy. Say I've had 10 before. Say it.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Because that's
true. That is probably true. Yes.
And that's fine. Because we've all had that when we're young and stupid. We've all done stupid things. But I'm saying, you just say that, and that'll be – but when you're like – when you downplay everything to be, I'm going to tell the lie I told myself on that night so I could drive. When I said, well, really, I've only had 2 beers since dinner. So I'm okay. Not that I've been drinking all day and, you know, really I've had, you know, and I had 3 French fries and so it wasn't really dinner. And you know, that glass of water was 2 sips of water. But I only had really 2 drinks. I had 2 to 3 drinks is all I really had. If you narrow it down, I mean, like that beer, I didn't even finish that beer. So that's half of maybe a quarter of a beer that I drink.
I do think that he was trying to show that we do lotter ourselves and make those reckless decisions.
But that's the thing.
I think that's what he was trying to point out.
I think it was. That's the thing is where
you just don't like the way he
No, because I think he said 2 beers 1,000 times, then 10 beers 20 times.
He started. He basically gave himself a little range of it.
Yes.
You know? No, I agree. I agree with you. You're definitely right. He's being very political about it. I do think that, you know, but I do, like I said, there is, I got to give him some credit because I do think he opened up and basically admitted, hey, man, I've been careless before doing that. And it's a mistake. A lot of coaches don't do that. Like they do.
I get that. I'm not trying to run him down completely because Garrett, I'm not saying that Ollie Gordon should get this massive suspension or any of that stuff. I don't think that's
a serious issue. No, I'm not serious making issue. Light of it is.
It's always the thing of I'm gonna be genuine about it. And like I've said some things in my past, and then you name the most innocuous thing you've said as the example for all the terrible things you've said.
I mean, I don't tell people that, you know, I've been trashed and wasted.
No, I've made bad mistakes and got lucky. But it's making a DUI seem like, hey, you got behind the wheel. He was probably walking and he probably dancing and swinging. No, he got pulled over. He most likely had a little too much.
Don't disagree with him.
And I just think it was... I'm not going to give him credit for being genuine because I don't think he was. I think it was a prepared, this is the way I'm going to get out of this statement. I think Mike Gundy is not doing anything wrong, but I'm not going to pretend that he is also being the most honest guy in the world.
I don't believe that because I don't think anybody is, but
I agree.
He is being somewhat honest and admitting that he's also made those types of mistakes, and you don't want to give him any credit at all for that, which I get. Like, literally, I started off the show saying people don't like Mike Gundy, so this is so nobody's going to give him any credit at all. Nobody wants to say, hey, you know what, that's actually good for you, Mike Gundy. Good for you for admitting, hey, you made some mistakes, and you can relate to the player making mistakes, and both you guys can learn from that. Nobody, nope, it's just Mike Gundy is being being an a-hole to a certain extent or being disingenuous. But it's okay. I mean, everybody's got their opinion about it. But I agree with you. There should be some type of punishment. If he's not going to punish Charlie Gordon, that's just, in my opinion.
And again,
that's irresponsible. It's him
I'm not saying spitting for a half in a non-conference D3 game is going to make – I don't care. That doesn't mean anything to me either. So I'm not saying that that is these big punishment either. I think you can not suspend him and all that. You'd like more transparency, but I get you're not going to get in college football. And it could be that he doesn't get to go to the team, movie night or something, whatever the thing is. He may just be on heavy watch where the punishment is basically we're going to put you on a breathalyzer on the morning and see if you blow anything. And then you'll have to run laps if you do or whatever. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm not saying it has to be anything crazy. There's this part of it in America now that we get away with fake statements.
Half truths.
Yes, that annoys me.
Half truths.
That annoys me.
Half truths. Not just fake, but yep, half truths. I don't disagree with that. All right, we come back. We'll get into Arch Manning now being in the game because he and his Uncle Eli, Uncle E, I think is what he called him in the commercial. They put out their own promotional video for the new EA Sports College Football video game. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about Arch Manning and why he may have changed his decision, why he may have changed his mind on the video game. All that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind that curtain?
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to go behind the burnt orange curtain, talk some Texas football. All right, let's talk about the new college football video game. We talked about it yesterday because some of Quinn Ewers, or earlier this week, I should say, we talked about it. Some of Quinn Ewers' ratings had been released. He's a 92 overall on the game. And we talked about some of the touchdown celebrations they're going to have and some of the different elements of the game. Well, we couldn't discuss Arch Manning's presence in the college football video game because he had opted out of the, or decided not to opt in, I should say, and be one of the, I believe it's like, something like 13,000 or something like that, players who opted into the college football video game. Well, that has changed because now Arch Manning will be in the latest college football video game, and we know this because it was announced via a commercial. He posted on his social media. He didn't post anything on his social media, but he posted this yesterday to announce to the world that he was officially in the game.
Gun far, Simmon Wright nasty, Z Riz, F Whirly Bird, Alert Scarecrow, all right? Use a little cadence here. All right, you ready?
Are you sure about this?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the best way to focus on football, right? So get your eyes on the safety. Be vocal out there.
Yes, coach. I mean, Uncle E.
It's better.
Green 18. Green 18. Omaha? It's a hut.
Ready. All right, there he is. There he is. Now!
Boom!
Touchdown! Now that's why you're in the game.
EA Sports. I'm in the game.
Whoo!
He just run four verts. It's official, and it was, I don't know if, how much truth is in this, but there is a report from On3, Pete Nakos. He is reporting that the Manning, basically Arch Manning, received between 50 and 60,000 to promote the video game. Remember, the initial deal had each player who opted in getting just $600, I believe it was, initially. And over 10,000 players opted in. They got a free video game, and they got $600 as their fee for using their name, image, and likeness. He's going to get $60,000, upwards of $60,000. At the time, I told you guys, I said, it's got nothing to do. I remember his initial reasoning was, according to Mark Schlabaugh, he said, quote, Manning, who attempted only five passes in one game as Quinn Ewers' backup in 2023, wanted to wait until, quote, he was the guy at Texas. Said a source. And remember, there was another report, I believe it was. Yes, this came from the Bleacher Report, and Anwar Richardson, he was the one that initially, I think, had it. He said he would instead focus on playing football on the field We want to focus on football. So those reports, they wanted to focus on football, and they didn't want to do it until he was the starting quarterback at Texas, or at least the projected starting quarterback at Texas, and he all of a sudden changed his mind. What happened? I told you guys at the time, that's a negotiating tactic. Got nothing to do. It didn't make any sense. So he can focus on football. What are you talking about? It's got to do with focus on football. It's a video game. It's got, they literally, they send you an email and you click a box. I'm opted in. I'm good. Send me my check and I'm good. It's got nothing to do with focus on football. He's not even, he doesn't even actively participate in social media. So he's then got to worry about people posting videos and pictures of him transferring and stuff like that. I said at the time, it's just a negotiating tactic. Now, I thought it would be for the next season, and he would get more money to be like on the cover or something like that in future seasons. I didn't know that EA Sports would cave within, was it 3 months? I think that was in March. So I didn't know they would cave that quickly, but they did, and they gave him 60 Gs, and he deserves it. I mean, that's the Manning name. You want Manning in there. Now my question is, what's going to be the score? What's his overall rating? Because Quinn is at 92. Where is Arch? And how far behind Quinn is Arch's rating? Are we talking about, is he like an 84, 85? Like, are they going to make him like an 88? Are they going to put him like really close to Quinn? If that's the case, oh, good Lord. Then we're going to have a lot of people posting screenshots and posting videos of them with Arch Manning out there instead of Quinn throwing touchdown passes. So my suggestion would be, man, you know, lower the rating for Arch. Make it significantly lower, at least like 9 to 10 points lower. Because if it's anywhere close to Quinn's rating, I already know what Longhorn fans are going to be doing. You know what an opponent's going to do. They're going to put him in a transfer portal.
Yeah, they're going to put him in
a transfer. He's going to be playing for their school. Yeah, we know that. He's going to be playing for Akron.
The whole reason they wanted him in the game.
Boston College. Yeah.
Yeah. EA Sports feel like this is the transfer portal guy. So we have to get him in so our transfer portal works.
So yeah, if they want to avoid some of that, just make his rating a little bit lower, but they won't. He'll have the best rating for any backup quarterback in the country, and he'll probably have, probably a rating, I don't say maybe four, within 5 points of Quinn, I'm going to say. I bet they make him like an 86, 87, somewhere around there. Hey, Quinn's 92.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. I think it was Danny Davis who posted this yesterday, but it's true. It's the, if you want a sales pitch when you're trying to go out and recruit for Sark, he can go out and go, you know, the first college football game in all these years, my starting quarterback is on the cover, and my backup quarterback just did a commercial for him.
Pretty much.
I have two quarterbacks promoting this game.
Two of them. Yeah.
That's right, ridiculous. That.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I wonder, do we know if Malik Murphy is starting? I got to go check that out if he's going to project. He's projected to start.
At Duke, he's got it, right?
I haven't looked at it. I know they were in the spring game. I mean, they played multiple quarterbacks, obviously. I just don't – I got to go do some research. But also, I wonder if Sark – because is Casey Thompson still playing, or Casey Thompson done?
He transferred – he's out with Herman, right? Yeah.
I know. He's at FAU, I believe. And I wonder if he's going to be the starting quarterback. Sark could potentially say, also, I got three quarterbacks I coached that are starting out there. That transferred from my program.
The one.
Is Huston Card? I got to go check Huston Card. Is he starting? It could be four.
Could be four.
He could also argue that I got four starting, but that I coached, that I've coached, that are still playing right now in college football. There are four of them that they're starting all over the country. I got to go check Huston Card, Malik Murphy, and Casey Thompson, and see where they are, and see if they're playing or not. Because if they are starting, that is also pretty remarkable. I mean, that's some crazy, freaky Lincoln Riley type stuff. I mean, he's not on Lincoln Riley's level. Yeah, he doesn't have the Heisman Trophy winners and number one overall draft picks.
Oh, no, I forgot. Casey went back to Oklahoma, so he's probably not starting.
He did?
Didn't he? I think he went back to Oklahoma.
I didn't realize that. Okay. That's interesting. I wonder if, that's a very strange move, but I know his dad played there.
Yeah. So he's back at Oklahoma, so he's probably not starting.
So not going to be him. All right. I wonder where Malik Murphy and if Huston Card, I wonder where he is too.
Huston Card is in Purdue.
I know he's at Purdue. I just don't know if he's projected to be the starting quarterback or anything like that. Anyway, I apologize. Sidebar. I digress.
He's projected on the same depth chart I found. Malik Murphy and Huston Card are projected right now on this depth chart.
Ooh.
But that's not official, so anything could change.
That's a hell of a sales point too. But you're right. That's a nice sales pitch for Sark. that if you look in terms of endorsement, I mean, and also your starting quarterback has a private, but got a private jet endorsement too.
Yep.
I believe it's him, and I think the is it the Ole Miss quarterback? There's one other quarterback across the country also that has, you know, a private jet NIL deal. But no, you're right about that. I mean, that's a hell of a selling point for, you know, quarterbacks around the country to even be the backup at Texas. And like I said, if those other quarterbacks are starting around the country, even being the backup at Texas still can have a huge benefit for you in terms of learning under Sark, like a Malik Murphy did, or even like a Hudson Card.
It's that thing of, you know, whether they're starting or not, you know, Malik and, you know, Hudson are getting those NIL packages too.
Yep.
Like starting quarterbacks. So they're getting they're getting starting quarterback NIL pay. Whether or not they're actually going to start or not, you know they're going to get it, which that's part of your sales pitch now is, you know, we're going to pay you some here to be the backup, and whether or not you start, as you're going to get that pay somewhere, and we will make sure that you know, you're going to be developed enough.
Yeah, no, you're right, because remember the report was that Malik Murphy, after the spring game, he had that great spring game, that he got a bump to keep him.
Yes.
Transferring after that really good spring game. And we know, I mean, Arch Manning, I mean, just got that's, I don't know if that's an NIL deal basically, but that's, I mean, he said initially that he wasn't going to get into the NIL space. I think that's changed a little bit too for the Manning family. So, 60,000, upwards of 60,000 is what he's getting reportedly to now use to be able to put his name, image, and likeness in the new college sports video game. At the time when he signed, though, I did say, it is the biggest celebrity endorsement in maybe in college football history, period. And you can say, well, the Mannings have signed other places before. Yeah, but those Mannings have now built the legacy of the Mannings for this next generation.
Yeah.
Right? When Eli signed, it was just Peyton and Arch that people were talking – Archie people were talking about. When Peyton signed, it was just, oh, he's – it's you know, Peyton. Okay, you got Archie and Peyton. But now you got Archie, you got Peyton, you got Eli, and now you have Arch. So to me, it just grows, right? The power impact of their celebrity endorsement as the first family of football, it just grows more and more. And so I do think the latest is the biggest celebrity endorsement in college football history. And it's also, you know, it came before the turnaround at Texas, which I think for most people was even more mind-blowing. It was like they were sold on Sark's turnaround before a lot of fans were, and before we saw the 2023 season. That was even more remarkable. To me, that's what I told you guys at the time. I said, man, all right, so now I have no reason to doubt the turnaround. I remember saying it at the time. I said, I got no reason to doubt it.
Yeah.
If the Mannings were sold on, they did research. Just like me, I'm sure they did a ton of research on Sark's philosophy, on Sark as a human being, on the program itself, how healthy it was. They got more resources than anybody and more connections. Anybody would give information to a Manning to be indebted to a Manning. And yet all the info they got was, yeah, it's good. Arch, you should go there. There was no pushback about, oh, man, family wants him to go here, and Arch really wants to go to Texas. No, it seemed like everybody was all in on Texas and sold on Texas. And that's when I told people, I said, there's no reason for us to doubt it, folks. You got a celebrity endorsements. I was doing the research. They've increased 44% from 2020. So celebrity endorsements are basically kind of the number one way that companies are advertising these days, if they can do it and if they can afford it. And 80% of those celebrity endorsements are from Hollywood. I think around 13 to 15% of them are pro athletes. 68% of men are influenced by celebrity endorsements. 68% of men. For women, it's for women, it's around 30+%, a little over 30%. But that is a phenomenon. So men are more influenced by celebrity endorsements than women, kind of getting back to our conversation about Arch Manning. And I remember thinking to myself, man, that celebrity endorsement for me, it's not only going to – it's very telling. It'll sell the fans on Sark's vision, but also to me it's – you know, I remember when Sims signed with the University of Texas. It was, and Mac was his second year in 1999, and everybody thought to themselves, "Oh, I gotta look at this Mac Brown guy. How the hell did they get Chris Sims?" It was a celebrity endorsement, and everybody wondered, "How the hell did the Sims family decide Mac Brown was the guy at Texas of all places?" And it really does. It forces people to kind of reevaluate the program, and they said that 59% of Americans say celebrity endorsements basically influence their buying behavior. And 62% of Americans say celebrity endorsements make them believe that the product is a higher brand of quality and integrity than without the celebrity endorsement. Even though that's all BS. We know that doesn't mean anything. But that's what Manning did. Like, it made me believe that the quality and integrity of the program was, I don't know if it's better than I thought, but it made me believe in it. Because of the Mannings. That's why I compared it to a celebrity endorsement at the time. All right, we come back. We'll get into the topic for the Big Fat Poll today. Also, we'll get into the musically themed day of the week. All of that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Davis coming back on the horn.
Back on the Rodcast here on a Wednesday. That means it's a one artist Wednesday, playing one artist for the entirety of the show. And the band today is AC/DC, specifically Bon Scott AC/DC. It would have been Bon Scott's birthday yesterday. Original singer. Well, I guess I don't think he was technically the original, but the most famous first singer of AC/DC before he passed away. And then Brian Johnson took over. It was Back in Black, and everything since then was Brian Johnson. But Bon Scott, the original singer of AC/DC. So we'll play some Bon Scott AC/DC today on the show. A lot of hits. This was another hard one of narrowing it down. Because there's a lot.
Got too many bangers.
There's too many just known songs. And they all kind of sound the same, but it's there. But it's AC/DC. Yeah. I love AC/DC.
I like that.
So
AC/DC.
We'll be rocking.
And AC/DC, how long? They're not still active, right?
Yeah, they are. They're trying, because a lot of them have passed away at this point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
Angus Young, the lead guitar player, is still around. He's still going. Malcolm Young was his brother. He's a rhythm guitar player. He passed away a few years ago. Bon Scott, the singer, passed away like in the early 70s, or like mid 70s.
How many members were there originally?
Drummer, bass player. Bon Scott's a singer.
Okay.
Two guitars. Members? So five members originally.
Five members in the original.
But now Brian Johnson has been with them for, 40, 50 years now, something like that, 40 years. But he has been having hearing loss problems, which happens when you're playing that kind of band. They don't really want to tour with him a bunch more, because they're like, you're going to go deaf doing this, but he still wants to go out and tour. So, once basically Brian Johnson can't do it, they've had a couple of guest singers do a few shows with them, but they can't really keep going on without Brian Johnson.
Yeah, why are we still trying to keep going?
Because people want to see it.
People must love. So they're talking about how long have they been active? You're talking about how many decades then?
So they started early 70s.
Wow. Man, that's crazy. So four decades basically. We're talking about five decades. That's crazy. That's a bit wild. They need to slow it down, man.
They have slowed it down a lot. But that was my friend when they played a big Power Trip Festival thing. My buddy was there. He was like, they come on stage and it's just a different thing than everybody else, because it's just pure energy for, 2.5 hours.
At that age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Angus Young was the one. He always dressed as a school child, because I think it was one of his siblings came to a show and they act, well, if you're just going to act like a little kid, you should dress up like you're a school child. And so he just started dressing up as a school child to be like, yeah, I'm going to act like a little kid. Do whatever I want to do.
That is wild. That's pretty cool. All right, there you go. AC/DC.
All right. Let's get to Big Fat Poll today. Text line's open, 512-447-3776.
Patrick's Big Fat Poll of the Day on the Horn.
And Rod, since we were talking about reality shows yesterday, it's somewhat influenced We talk about Mike Gundy and reality shows. I brought up the question, which college coach would you want to see a reality show about?
Oh, hell, Deion, I think, might have had one already.
Deion might have had one, but we'll say Deion's in there. Mike Gundy, the guy, do you say, do you want to see a reality show about Mike Gundy?
I do. I think Deion and Gundy at the top of that list.
What about Dan Hurley?
Oh, he's good, too, yeah.
Dan Hurley's an interesting guy. Very intense.
Yeah, quirky.
Very intense.
Quirky
Lane Kiffin. See you following him around with all his pseudonyms.
This is college?
This is college coach.
Any college coach. Honestly, I know Kim Mulkey. I know people don't like her, but
Kim Mulkey's a good one.
Interesting. She's interesting, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm about being interesting. In entertainment, you want to be good or you want to be interesting. It's awesome if you're both, but you got to be one or the other. And yeah, Kim Mulkey's actually both.
I mean, Kim Mulkey's going to have her own fashion show.
Exactly, just to see the closet. I mean, they're walking down that glass, like, this closet is crazy.
Just
is,
her picking out clothes and be like, sparkly enough.
Yes.
Not sparkly enough.
Oh, that's a good question. That is good.
Yeah,
that's
help us out on the text line, 512-447-3776. You got some good suggestions of what, which college coach would you want to see a reality show about?
Which Longhorn coach would be the best on the reality?
And that's
show?
The thing.
Schaefer?
I think maybe, but they're all pretty level-headed guys.
Vic Schaefer's got to be it would have to be. I'm trying to think who else would be better than Vic Schaefer on the reality show as one of the Texas coaches. Nobody's be better than Vic Schaefer.
No, but I don't think Vic Schaefer's personal life would be super entertaining. I think it'd be more along the lines of, he would just be like, no, I just go to church and then I get up and then I run. I've seen him running around campus before, and I think he's just regimented, does his thing.
Yeah, but at least he's charismatic enough to be able
he's
to talk
charismatic
to the camera
for
and
sure.
Be entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't even know if most of the coaches could keep up time talking with the camera and be entertaining the whole time. I just don't think they're built that
way. No.
A lot of them are built that. Augie could have done it.
Yeah.
Like, Augie would have been, he'd been holding court. Augie would have easily been it. Like, Augie had been holding court. Mac wouldn't have been bad, but Mac, you know, I love Mac, but Mac will filibuster, and, you know, Mac's a brilliant politician. Probably could have run for office and won in Texas, Tennessee, or North Carolina, too. So Mac would have been up there kind of giving you a lot of coach speak and stuff like that, kind of motivational speak and stuff. I don't know if he'd have given you interesting nuggets, so.
I don't know.
No, you're right.
I
think it's Vic Schaefer at Texas right now.
Yeah,
you
would have
maybe
out.
Eddie Reese when he was here, too,
yeah.
would have been good. He'd drop some nuggets on you.
He'd drop some nuggets.
Stuff.
Yeah,
CDC, he's not a coach, but CDC would be interesting.
CDC would be interesting, too.
He's not a coach, but he'd be interesting to follow. But you're right. Lane Kiffin is probably – it's probably Lane Kiffin, Gundy, Deion Sanders, Kim Mulkey's in the conversation.
Kim Mulkey. But Dan Hurley in there is an interesting
guy. Dan Hurley's in there, yeah. We're probably missing some women. Women's basketball coaches are interesting. They got a bunch around the country. Like Don Staley's actually pretty interesting. They got a bunch around the country actually that are pretty interesting. That's a good question. All right, throw us some on the text line, 512-447-3776. Topic for the Big Fat Poll today. Damn good one. What college coach would be best on their own reality TV show? Which college coach would be best on their own reality TV show? All right, good stuff there from Patrick. We come back. We'll discuss Dak Prescott. We'll hear from Dak Prescott, actually, talking about his contract negotiations. He'll address the walking boot controversy that was much ado about nothing. We'll also dive into the clutch gene for NFL quarterbacks. All that and more right here when we return on the broadcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Coming back on the Horn.